Sometimes it's good just to relax and rest, you know, and not have to be busy doing something. In quietness and in rest shall be your strength. Sometimes we just need to shut everything off and everything down. Just shut in with God and just rest. Amen. And there's a rest in here today. There's the peace of the Lord is here. God just wants you to soak in His presence. Amen. And find rest for your soul. Find refuge in Him. Lives can be chaotic at times, and there's so much demand on us and our time and the stresses of relationships and people that we may work around or encounter during the week. But, you know, God says, I'm your rest. I'm your refuge. Find your rest in me. And live from that place. Live out of the place of rest and not out of stress. I mean, you know that the devil wants to throw stress on you. Sometimes we put the stress on ourselves, amen, by accepting something that God didn't tell us to take. You know, the devil's also good at giving us what's called a false burden. That's where you're involving yourself with something that God never asked you to do. Either somebody put you on a guilt trip and made you feel like you needed to do something when God didn't say. If God doesn't say do it, then don't do it. Amen? Because the only thing that's going to bear fruit unto eternal life is what we did in obedience to what He said. Otherwise, you can spend yourself on good things, but not right things. And you can live your life for everybody else, amen, and miss God in the process. Amen? We got to hear God and do what He's telling us to do. And be okay with that place. If He's telling you, just settle down for a while. Don't get into the busy mode, amen. Sometimes we just need to be like Mary at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Just sit at the feet of Jesus and receive and be taught and be nourished by Him, be strengthened by Him. And instead of the Martha thing where we're Martha's madness and she was running around busy, 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 and thinking everybody else should be just as busy as her. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're just stressed out about a lot of things, but Mary's doing the more needful thing here. She's doing the thing that she needs, and that is she's just going to, you know, soak in my presence. So God wants His people in rest. He doesn't want us in stress, because when we get into stress, we get into trouble. Amen. We start looking for ways out, and sometimes the world will give us artificial things. Amen. Artificial security blankets and things. Well, the devil will come along and say, well, why don't you just drink this or smoke this or whatever, you know, or watch this, whatever it might be. You know, sometimes some folks are just so busy trying to run away from their own conscience that they can't live in quietness. They can't have silence. Their life has to be filled with noise, media, television, this thing, that thing, busyness. You know you're in rest when you can shut it all off, amen, and rest in God and have perfect peace with Him, knowing your conscience isn't screaming at you anymore. How many know it's a good thing, right, to have a clear conscience? But you know what? Even though our conscience may not bother us, it doesn't necessarily mean we're right. You can have a seared conscience. You can have an ineffective conscience. And you can do things that years ago you would never consider doing. And if your conscience is seared, you can do it and your conscience wouldn't even bother you anymore. And like Jiminy Cricket said, and always let your conscience be your guide. Well, I wouldn't suggest that you always let your conscience be your guide. God did give you a conscience. Amen. But let the Spirit of the Lord and let the truth of God be your guide. Yes. Amen. And let Him restore your conscience. Amen. God can redeem that too. God can restore your conscience and give you a place, bring you back to a place where you're sensitive again. To the Lord, you know, to His presence, to His voice. Well, I just thought I'd throw that out here today because that's what God wanted me to throw out. So anyways, that was for somebody. God, thank You for this time together. Thank You for the family of God, the body of Christ. You all understand what we're doing, right? You all understand you need to have a clean heart, a clean conscience. Amen. You need to forgive others. Amen. If there's any rifts in relationships, whatever, as much as lies within us, we should live at peace with all men. Do the best we can. Amen. We know the best way to have peace with people is to keep your mind in heaven. To be calibrated to God. Amen. Because you can't, in your human effort, you can only go so far with that. You know, human effort says that, well, as long as you're treating me right, I'm okay with you. Right? But as soon as you don't, we're in trouble, right? No, God's ways are not our ways. God wants us to live in His love. He wants to live us to live from that place of love, where that is that I choose to love you, right? Whether you love me or not, it doesn't matter. You know what? None of us love God. None of us love God. None of us love God. We are all enemies. Enemies of God. All of us. But God so loved the world. God loved us. Despite ourselves, He loved us. And that's why He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. To die on the cross for us. For God so loved the world. And Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As we follow the example of our Lord. Amen. Love is a choice. Do you understand that if you and I walk in His love, if we walk in the choice that I'm going to love you, I'm going to love others, I'm even going to choose to love my enemies, that the enemy can't get you. He can't touch you there. If we're self-seeking, if we have an agenda, if we're looking for love, you're going to be disappointed. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Isn't that the world, though? That's the world. And you know, even within your marriage relationship, if it's not love for God and love from God, you know, it's only natural affection. But agape, God's love, is that irregardless of whether you love me back, I'm going to love you. And there's safety in that. Because the enemy wants us to be offended. He wants us to be offended at one another. And if we have an expectation on someone, you're supposed to do this for me or do that for me, then we're setting ourselves up for failure because eventually that person's going to let you down. Isn't that true? You've heard the old saying, scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And sometimes we have expectations that we put on one another that I'm expecting you to do this for me. Now, even though it may be right and it may be a good thing for that person to treat you a certain way, it's not the right perspective. The right perspective is that I'm going to love you. Period. See? I'm going to love you, period. Whether you love me back or not, I'm going to love you. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. Whether we didn't love Him, but He loved us first. And we love Him now because we have experienced His love. Amen? Because we have received His love. We have understood His love. And God demonstrated His love for us in the cross. Amen? God poured out His love for us on the cross. For God so agaped, that means unidirectional, loved you while we were yet enemies, still in sin, Christ died. So, brethren, let us love one another. Amen. For love is of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If we will all practice that together here, then there will be no place for offense. Amen? That I just choose to love you. I choose to love each one. And I'm not doing it with an expectation that I'm going to get something in return. But I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do. Therefore, if somebody chooses not to love me back, I'm not offended. Amen? It's not on me. I'm going to love you, period. But if we have an expectation, well, you need to do this for me in return. I did this for you. How many know what I'm talking about? You get disappointed sometimes, right? You get let down. Has anybody beside myself been disappointed by a close friend? How about a spouse? People that you trust, right? It happens, right? But God's not that way. God's love is perfect love. And aren't you glad that He loves us? That He gave His life for us. You know what He's saying, guys? It's your turn. It's your turn to give your life away now. I gave all for you. You want to find your life? Lose it. We're all introverted and we're all thinking about ourselves. If we're focused on self, you're not going to find much good there. My goodness is not me, but my goodness is Christ. My righteousness is not me. My righteousness is Christ. You see that? Off me and onto Him. My right standing with God is not me. It's Christ. Christ makes me right. Christ qualifies me for heaven, not me. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So my faith, my hope, my trust is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I trust in Him. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to say another thing is when we are offended, it means that we're too strong in ourselves yet. If you're easily offended by people, it means that you're full of yourself. I deal with the same thing. What did Jesus say? You need to die to yourself. It means I need to die more. Amen. That means I need to be done with me and what I want and what I expect. And I am to submit myself to God now. I'm under new ownership, new management, and now I'm to live by the will and the word of God. Amen. My life lived for Him. And when I live for Christ, I have superior life. Superabundant in quantity and superior in quality life when I live for Christ. Understand? When I'm not all about me, but it's now about Jesus. How can I love you back, Lord? How can I give myself away? If you give your life away, you find it. He said, that's where you find it. Because He is your life. He becomes your life. And He is your superior life. Understand? He's not patching up the old. He's giving you Himself. He becomes your life. In Him we live. Yeah. I knew a woman who was testifying at one time that her kids were great kids. They were really well behaved, and she prided herself in the fact that her kids were not like so many of the other kids that were always in trouble. Well, lo and behold, the children entered into their teen years, and things began to change, and they changed drastically. To where her kids were worse than just about any of the other kids. And so she began to realize by the help of the Holy Spirit that it was her attitude, her self-righteous attitude that needed to change. And then time went on as she repented of that. God began to turn things around again, and those those kids began to straighten out. And they got their hearts right with God, and they began to serve the Lord. And that's why I'm here today. And this guy back here in the corner, that was my mom, see? But because of her humility and her willingness to learn and to listen to God and say, you know, God, we need to examine ourselves, amen, and not compare ourselves to somebody else. But say, Lord, how is it between you and I? That's really what matters, amen? And let's be an example. Let's be a model to that. Be willing to repent. God lifts the humble up, amen? But he resists the proud. If we pretend to be what we're not, we'll never become what we're supposed to. Amen? So there's no pretending. Amen? Don't pretend. Say, Lord, I know I'm not all that, and I know I need you. I need your grace daily. And without you, I can do nothing. As we walk in that place of reliance upon him, we walk in his strength and not our own. You see, we can't do this in our own strength. It must be in his. So God is weaning us off ourselves so that we will have faith in God and not in self. I was listening to, I was a news reporter, some young man that was saying how he recently had faith in humanity restored because of a good deed that was done to him. Somebody had paid off a fairly large bill that he had, something to that effect. And how many have heard that statement before? I've had renewed faith in humanity. How many know that that is a humanistic point of view? And how many know that that may work well for a season, but eventually humanity is going to fail you again? So you don't want to put your faith in human beings. You want to put your faith in God who doesn't fail. Amen? And if we are people of God, people of character, amen, then we can be trustworthy. We should be trustworthy people. If anybody should be trustworthy, it should be God's people. Amen? And I remember when I came out of the world and all I knew was like, watch your back, because even my friends I didn't trust because everybody was always betraying each other. And so then when I came to the Lord, things began to change and those relationships began to fall away. And then I began to develop new relationships. And I discovered that actually in the body of Christ, not everybody, but actually in the body of Christ, there are people that you can really trust. Imagine that. Isn't it good to have a friend that you can trust? That you can bear your heart and know it's safe? Isn't it good to know somebody that even when they discover what you're really like, they still love you?
Yeah.
Kind of like your husband and wife, right? I mean, we get to know each other quite well, don't we? And a few minutes on Sunday morning and a handshake and a smile, we don't know each other. But you hang out long enough with somebody, you get to know them. Amen? And you can only fake it so long. And those hidden things will be brought to light. So the best thing to do is be transparent with each other and with God and say, Lord, I want it right. I want to get it right. Fix me. Change me. Transform me, Lord. Turn my life around. Plant my feet on solid ground. Now, I began this on Wednesday, and for some of you, in fact, the majority were not here, I wanted just to kind of begin with this from the top and then quickly go down through to a certain point where I left off. The topic is, what is faith? What is faith? Now, the Bible says that the just shall live by or walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So if we are to walk by faith, we need to understand what is real faith, because there are differences in opinion and there are different doctrines out there today and people that preach or teach on faith, the subject of faith, right? And so we need to understand what real faith is. What does it look like? So that we can know if we're in faith or not. Really, to be in faith is to be in Christ. To be in faith is to be in Christ. You see, Jesus can be in you, but yet not have you. Faith is me trusting God to the degree that I am willing to give everything to Him and trust Him with everything that I have and everything I am. That's true faith. That's saving faith, where I don't try to save me anymore. I've given that all over to God. I've given that all over to Jesus Christ. Because when you and I get in the position where we're trying to save ourselves, we're living in fear and condemnation and doubt. Isn't that right? And we're always doubting, have I done enough good? How good is what? Good enough. Have you done enough good yet? No. You'll never do enough good. You need to realize that it is not your good, but His good. We got to shift away from ownership to where I no longer own me, but He owns me. And my faith and my hope and my trust is in Jesus Christ, amen, and His blood and His righteousness. He sets me free from me, because when I'm in me, I'm in fear and doubt and condemnation. I'm in guilt, I'm in shame when I'm in me. When I'm in Christ, I'm in love and joy and peace. Hello? I'm in faith when I'm trusting fully in God's grace and not in myself. So the nature of faith in Hebrews 11 and verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once again, faith has substance and it has evidence. If you're in faith, there will be proof. There will be substance. There will be evidence that you're in faith. Amen? There will be fruit in your life if you're in faith. There will be a manifestation of God's Spirit and power in your life if you're in faith. Amen? It's not superstitious. It's not superstition. Amen? But it's based upon truth. Truth is reality. So when my faith, my trust is in the reality of who God is and what He says, then I'm in faith. And if I'm in faith, it will produce results. It will produce fruit. Amen? Why? Because this thing is not of me, it's of Him. What God actually receives from us that is acceptable is Christ. The fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruit of my good deeds, but the fruit of His Spirit. And if we are submitted to Christ, and if we are in faith, if we are fully trusting Him, then there will be good deeds. But these good deeds will be born out of Christ, out of faith in Christ, and not out of me. See, there are many people that do a lot of good things, but they're not in faith. And so it's wood, hay, and stubble. It will be burned up. No lasting fruit. You understand? You can spend yourself doing all kinds of stuff, even for God, and yet have no zero fruit. Why? Because God accepts His word, His will, His way, and not our way. You see, we're not even supposed to serve God our way. We're supposed to serve God His way. We can involve ourselves in all kinds of good things, and yet it may not be what? The right thing. Because the right thing is the will of God for you. Now, it is true that God works in us both to will and to do. He puts desires in us to do things. Amen? But everything that we do, we need to run by His desk and say, Father, is this what You're calling me to do? Is this what You want me to do? And it's not always going to be some grand thing. Sometimes it's the simplicity of picking up the phone and calling somebody and saying, how are you doing today? Praying for somebody. Amen? Ministering to someone else. Giving to someone in need. Many ways that the Spirit of God will move upon us. Now, remember Noah in Hebrews 11:7. It says that He moved with godly fear. He built an ark to the saving of his family. When he heard the word of the Lord, he believed God, and therefore he took action and did what? Built the boat. It wasn't enough for him to say, yeah, I believe in God. God spoke to me once. He told me to build a boat. Well, where's the boat at? Well, I just haven't got to it yet. Or, oh, yeah. How about Moses when he forsook Egypt? And he was willing to step down, amen, from his lofty position in this world so that he could associate himself with the humble and with the people of God, because he saw something greater than what he had experienced having it all in this world. He understood that God's will and God's purpose was higher, superior to what he was experiencing in Egypt in such an elevated position. All he needed, everything he wanted, he could have at his fingertips. But he saw something superior, and he was willing to step down, associate with the people of God. Amen. And then through a process of time, God brought him into true humility and faith. And then he pulls him out of the wilderness place where he didn't get any recognition. Hello. Nobody noticed him. Ever feel like you've just been overlooked? Maybe God's got you in a wilderness right now, but he's preparing you in that wilderness for something if you pay attention. And then he pulls him out. He says, now you're ready, Moses. What was it, 40 years? Took him 40 years to get him ready, but now you're ready, Moses. And God raised up Moses to be the deliverer of his people. And he says, now you're in a place where I can trust you because you're done with yourself. See, God has to take us down, amen, before we can go up. The problem is that some people are born up, and it's too much of a price because of their pride for them to come down. Amen. To humble themselves, that God can lift them up. That happens in the church, you understand? Sometimes people are born and raised in church, or maybe been in a ministry family and generational ministries, you know, and they've never known what it was to be a servant. They've always been the big shot, you know. But God can't use us if we're big shots. Amen. God is looking for servants. People he can trust. Amen. With the riches of the kingdom. Jesus said, I didn't come. Jesus was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he humbled himself and became a man like you and I. Amen. And he said, I didn't come here, guys, to be served by you. I've come to serve you. And God is saying, now follow the example of Christ. Do the same thing. Don't come with an attitude of, what can I get out of you? It's like, how can I serve you? Amen? Let's talk about customer service here. I was just listening to earlier today. Sometimes you get customer service and they're nasty. Customer service, this is no service coming from you. Sometimes they think they're in some kind of lofty position, you know. King of the hill, well, you need me. But it's supposed to be customer service, amen? How many know that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve? Because Jesus was in faith. He obeyed his Father. He trusted his Father's word. He trusted his Father's direction. He listened only for the voice of his Father. If what man said did not agree with his Father's voice, he would not submit to it. Amen? If your friends are not going with Jesus, they're not true friends. Amen? If you can't pull them along with you, let go of the rope. Amen? But don't let them drag you down. You remember Isaac blessed his sons Jacob and Esau. Before he'd actually seen anything, he blessed them in faith that what he had decreed over his sons one day would come to pass. Now, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't take the action or the step of laying his right hand upon their heads to bless, invoke the blessing of God upon them, unless he had believed or trusted that God was going to actually answer that. Amen? That God was going to fulfill that. Now, remember Thomas, doubting Thomas. We always pick on Thomas. You know, poor Thomas. But Jesus said to Thomas, he said, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound, my side. Don't be faithless any longer, but believe. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Blessed are those who believe the word that they hear. The word of God is enough. Why? Because when I hear truth and I know that it's true, I know that God is integrous. I know that God is not a man that he should lie. That if God said something, then he means it. Amen. God's not going to say one thing and do another thing because he's holy. Amen. Now, maybe your friends may do that. Amen. But God doesn't do that. God is faithful. That's his name, faithful and true. And now this is the thing where we get into trouble, because sometimes people talk about faith, but it seems like the object of everything is faith itself instead of God. See, we are to have faith in God, but not faith in faith. We're not to put faith, hear this, in our ability to believe. Don't put your faith in your ability to believe God. Learn of God, receive from him, amen, hear the truth, and put your faith, your trust exclusively in what God says and promises. And not in your ability, have I believed enough? You see, get your eyes off you and get them on God. That's why these men were able to overcome, is that they had their eyes on him who was invisible. They didn't see him, but they believed his word. And it produced faith in their hearts. And faith produced evidence, substance. That's why Jesus says, have faith in God in Mark 11:22. Now, we talked about Elisha here, where God says, guys, I'm going to give you rain. I'm going to give you water. And dig the ditch, and then I will fill it. So they had to be actively engaged in obeying the word of the Lord. So in 1 Kings 3:15, Elisha calls, the prophet calls for a musician. He says, now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, you shall not see rain. You're not going to see rain, and you're not going to see wind. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Now, think about this. Go out and dig ditches, because there's going to be water. But you're not going to see any wind, and you're not going to see any rain. How many know that takes faith? That you have to be in a place where you really believe that this is going to happen. Because if we get into the logic, we say, well, of course it's going to have to rain. Right? Of course it has to rain. I mean, you know, you dig a ditch, it rains, it fills up with water. That's logical. Well, how many know it did rain? But it rained upstream in Edom. Out of sight. Where they couldn't see it. And after they had taken the steps of obedience to do the thing that they were instructed to do. Hear it. There has to be an instruction, and there has to be obedience to that instruction. And once you take steps of faith in obedience to what God tells you to do, give this employer a call. Well, I'm hoping 30 years later, I'm hoping one of these days I'll get a job. What's on? Pray. Get instruction from God. Get a word of knowledge. Amen. And God will say, go do this. Or a word of wisdom. Take the step and watch what God does. Amen. Faith in God requires action. Otherwise, you're not really believing God. And so it happened, verse 20, in the morning when the grain offering was offered, that suddenly water came by Edom, and the land was filled with water. See, sometimes it happens in a way that we're not expecting. God moves, but he doesn't move the way that our minds comprehend. We're not to function from the reason, amen, but by the truth. by the Word of God. And sometimes truth goes against what your mind is saying. You know, when we get sick, sometimes the first thing you want to do is call the doctor. Right? Well, how about going to Dr. Jesus? First thing we should be doing is calling on the Lord. Amen? Maybe fasting and praying if you need to, but get a hold of God. Find out what God is saying. We witness Jesus, God brings in the harvest. Amen? There has to be a voice. There has to be somebody talking about Jesus. Hello? For people to hear the truth that can save them. The object of our faith is one who cannot lie, who cannot fail, and who does not change. Now, the foundation of our faith is what? Right, it's His Word. Amen? The Word of God is our foundation. So, if you're trusting in what God says, you can't go wrong. How many know that you need to hear God's voice? Amen? Jesus said, my sheep, what? Hear my voice. So, we've got to get a word from God first. What is God saying about this? There are truths in this book, amen, that are timeless. There are principles that are timeless. God says, this works, amen? My word works. But there are specific things that you and I are faced with in this world that you're not going to find in the book of John. Amen? There are specific things that we need to do. Maybe it has to do with looking for a job or finding a job. Amen? Or maybe you need a financial miracle, a breakthrough, or some help, and you're going to have to get a word from God. Hello? Amen? We need a word from God. We need to hear what God is saying about it. That's why we must have a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And we must walk with Jesus. And we must become acquainted with His voice. Because His voice is life to us. If we don't hear God, we'll end up in the ditch. God wants to speak to us, but are we listening? God wants to give you direction, but are you listening? Sometimes God does speak to us, but we simply don't agree with what God has to say. Oh God, I'm going to look pretty silly if I go out here and start digging ditches. What will the neighbors think? I'm going to look pretty silly if I'm out here building this boat. It's never rained before. What will the neighbors think? God, if I were you, let's not go there, right? Thank God that we're not Him. Amen. What is the foundation? The Word of God. Amen. John 7:38, He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. How do you know when you're in faith, your life will be an expression of Jesus Christ? There will be the fruit of life when you're in faith. When you are fully trusting in God's word, in what God says, there will be evidence. There will be fruit. Faith requires action, does it not? It needs to be exercised. Remember Abraham, he believed God and he went out. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How many have ever done that? How many have ever stepped out for God not knowing where you're really going, but all you got was one word and God says, go do this. Go to this location. And when you get there, I'll tell you what to do next. That's faith. I've done that. Have you? We're learning how to walk by faith. Oh, God, why are you telling me to go here? Just go there. You see, when He sees that we believe Him, then He'll give us a little bit more. He knows we can be trusted, you see. How many know that God doesn't like to waste His time? You know, we're saying, God, speak to me. Well, what if God has been speaking and we're not listening? I think there's times we need to go back and say, God, where did I miss it? Get back to that place and say, okay, I got to get reoriented here and get an agreement. And I need to first resolve this thing that you told me to do. And then I'm in position to receive more. Amen. If we start listening daily, the little assignments, the little thing God's telling you to do. You want to hear God more clearly? Start obeying Him when He is speaking to you. Amen. Do those things first. And if you're faithful in little, He will make you ruler of much. There's got to be a response to the gospel. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of love, full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, true faith has fulfilled promises. God is a promise keeper, and God will give you promises for your life. But you cannot receive a promise until you act upon that promise. Until you start taking steps in the direction of the will of God. You will never complete the will of God. If you want to do the will of God in your life, you have to start stepping in the direction of the will of God. And God will take you to places where you've never been before, things you've never done before. But if God is saying, do this, if you obey Him, you will discover that where He told you to be, He's going to be there. Where I am, there my servant will be also. You see, God's often telling us, just go here. Do this. Oh, I don't want to talk to those creepy people, God, you know. Go talk to them. Go love them. Amen? You go there, you open your mouth, and you begin to share the love of Jesus with them, and guess what? Jesus is right there with you. He says, good work. Let's do this thing. No kidding. You walk through the door, and Jesus says, hi, I've been waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to obey me. Take the step. Begin to step out. Same thing with witnessing. Oh, I don't know, God. What if nobody listens? God says, go open your mouth for me and I'll fill it. Just open your mouth and He'll fill it. It takes a step of obedience before your faith is proven to be true or genuine. If you're in faith, you will have results. You will have fruit. Amen. Joshua, his testimony. After all Israel had been through, after the failures in the wilderness, and how finally a remnant was in position to enter into the land, and they'd gone in, and Joshua was a warrior, and God used him to conquer their enemies in the land, and everything that God had promised came to pass. And in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, this is the conclusion of the matter. Hear this. Because somebody was willing to believe God. Joshua and Caleb were the ones who said, we are well able. Amen? We are well able. Why? Because God told us we can do this. God promised us the land. And therefore, we're not going to believe what our eyes are telling us. We're going to believe what God says. And they stepped out in obedience. And this was the result, verse 43. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which He had sworn to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that He had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. You understand how important it is to listen to God. This is where He brought them. This is the place where they are in rest. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. And verse 45, not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Does God want to do good things in your life? Absolutely. God truly is good. But you're going to have to receive those promises by faith. That means I believe God, I trust God, I confess it. Amen? And I'm not backing down, I'm not looking back, I'm not shrinking back, I'm pressing on to possess what God has already promised me. Talked about this a few days ago about Thanksgiving and how important Thanksgiving is. Because Thanksgiving is even when I find myself in a situation where I've never been before and my back is against the wall and I don't know what to do. Thanksgiving is your way out of that. Thanksgiving is you saying, Lord, in all things, I'm going to give thanks. Why? Because with my thanksgiving, I am saying, Lord, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you're going to provide for me. I thank you that you're going to heal me. I thank you that you're going to deliver me. I thank you, Lord God, that you have a future and a hope for me. I thank you, God, that you're not against me. I thank you now because I know the promise is sure. I know that God will come through for me. So I give thanks in the now. No matter what's happening in your life, start giving God thanks in advance for what you believe He's going to do in your life. Amen. Thanksgiving produces genuine praise. Praise brings His presence. His presence brings joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God's a promise keeper. But let me give you something, folks, that you need to think about seriously. If the vessel that God chooses refuses to obey Him, He will choose another vessel to fulfill His promises. So God may have called you and given you an assignment and say, I'm depending on you to do this. It's up to you whether you're going to believe God and obey God. You see, you can't say you believe God and not obey God. If you're in faith, it will produce an obedient heart to the Spirit of God. Because God is merciful, God is gracious, God is long-suffering, He's patient with us. But God has given us a certain time frame to accomplish His will. Hear it. And if He sees that the vessel that He chose and He called is not willing to obey Him, then God will take what was given to you and find somebody else that will be faithful with that. Like the man with the one talent. Oh, Lord, I hid it in the ground. I was fearful. Take it from him and give it to the one who has 10. Amen? It has more. You hear that today? How many would agree with me today that it's vitally important that I discover what God's will is for my life? It's very important that I know God's voice and that I'm being faithful in the little things of my daily life, because if you want to be promoted, you got to pass the test. Amen? If you don't like tests, well, there's no promotion without a test. And when there's a test, what is it? It's a test of your faith. It's a test of whether or not you believe God is bigger than that problem, bigger than your situation. And instead you say, I'm going to give thanks in this situation. I'm going to give God praise in this situation. And during the situation, during the time that you're in it, that test, you can have peace because His presence will be there. He'll be your comforter. He'll be your fire by night. He'll be your cloud, amen, of cover during the day. He'll be your comforter. Trust Him. Call on Him. In all things, give thanks. Is there a single example in Scripture where the truth of God has failed? Not a single one, no. And it's all there for us. God's saying, trust me. I'm good. I want to do you good. I want to bless you. And I want you to share in my kingdom. But you've got to believe me. You've got to believe that I really do love you. You need to believe that I really do care about you. You need to believe that I have only good in store for you. You need to believe that I'm with you and not against you. You need to believe that my word is true. If I tell you something, if I promise you something, it is as well as done. Amen? Do I believe God? If I believe God, then I will do what He tells me to do. I'll act upon it. Because faith pleases God. And I'm going to hold it up in just a few minutes here, okay? We'll continue tonight. But I want to make this point. The devil wants to steal your faith. That's why he assaults us with all kinds of stuff and garbage and thoughts and situations. Because he's trying to steal your faith. How many know that the devil doesn't need your stuff? We're all worried about, I lost my stuff. Or it's not about the stuff. It's about getting to your faith. It's about getting you to doubt God. And somehow believe that God is not good. Your faith is so important. Because it has hope of today and also of the future. Stand strong in the faith. Believe God. God is with you and not against you. God is for you. The devil wants to steal your faith. He wants to bring you to a place where you begin to doubt that God really means what he says. Why? Because he gets us to start to look at things from a natural perspective. With the seeing of these eyes. And I'm looking at my situation. I'm hearing what God says, but now I'm looking at my situation. I have to make a determination that I'm not going to live by what I'm seeing right now. Because if you're looking with just your natural understanding, your natural eyes, you're going to see hopelessness. But if you're listening to the word, the voice of God, you're going to have hope arise in your heart because you know that God is not a man that he should lie. And so I have to shift away from confidence in self to confidence in my God. Amen. Who is faithful to do what he promised. We're children of promise. Is that making sense? Quit the idea that the world is feeding you self-confidence. Get your confidence in God. Amen. Get your confidence on Him. And you'll have confidence in your life. Hallelujah. As much as they try to tell you, esteem yourself. Self-esteem. Self-esteem only goes as far as you're getting the victory. Amen. But as soon as you fail, you're destroyed because you've let yourself down. Well, God's trying to get your attention. Don't put your trust in man. Cursed is he who puts his faith in man. Amen. Trust in man. He'd be like a shrub in the desert. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. For he shall be like that tree planted by the waters. Amen. And he will not fear when the heat comes, nor will cease to yield fruit. In other words, no matter what's happening, even in dry seasons of life, our roots are in Jesus Christ. Amen. My anchor holds within the veil. My confidence, my trust is in God. No matter what it looks like, I know my God is true to His Word. And He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. That's what I'm going to believe. And I'm going to give thanks to God and say, Lord, thank you that you've promised to never leave me or forsake me. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you, Father. The Lord is blessing you. The Lord is keeping you. The Lord is causing His face to shine upon you. The Lord is being gracious to you. The Lord is lifting up the light of His countenance. And the Lord is giving you peace. Amen. Shalom. Walk in the peace of the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what, in all things, give Him thanks. Hallelujah.